Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we can't sit around with what's going on in the world, what's going on in our lives, and what's happening in our community, whatever, and get pulled down into the muck and mire. Then all we do is we lay there, oh, there's no good, there's no good. You know, if you read the news that's not being reported, I'm telling you, you're going to say, dear God, how can we even exist as a species? But there's a good God. He's not perpetuating all this evil. But we cannot lay down there and say, well, you know, God, where are you at? Why aren't you doing anything? Well, he did something, folks. First off, he sent his son, right? And then he sent you. There's the change we need, amen? We want God to send in the cavalry, and he did. They just refused to get out of their pews. They want a government intervention. I was just standing back here thinking about, because we were watching a little thing this morning as I was drinking my coffee on the news. They were talking about the opioid, just mess we've got going on right now. And Philadelphia is, what was it, just injections? They want to create a spot where if you're a heroin addict, you go there, you use their needle, and you can do it in front of them. Which one of the reporters said, now, it's still illegal, correct? And he said, yes, it is, and they can be arrested. I'm like, well, you're not going to lure them in that way and stop the ODs. I got my own thoughts on some of that, which I won't share from here because they're a little extreme. You take the bad guy out and you kick his butt. Enough said, right? But we're looking around saying, God, how do we create another program? Listen, there are so many programs right now for all this stuff. People are searching for something. We have got to be listening to them. We've got to have our hearts open to reach out and help them. It may not necessarily be, you starting a campus crusade program or something like David Wilkerson did. That's not maybe what God wants. Maybe God wants you just to talk to the guy that you see who's twitching and you know he's needing a fix. Or maybe God's telling you just to put your arm around them. You know, sometimes that might be what it needs. I don't know. God's got his ways of bringing people around. And usually if you have to wait for God to bring you around like that, it means you are probably dancing with danger at this point in your life. But listen, We serve a great and awesome God. Just as Angela said, you know, with talking about her dad. They came in and they said, oh, there's been five. Then an hour and a half later, they came back and said, now they did six. And, you know, we were just sitting there thinking, dear God, how's that man walked? How has he farmed? Because he told us, he says, I know the day when I realized something was wrong. He went to a Cleveland Browns football game. Said, I couldn't enjoy the game because all I could think was, dear God, I got to walk back. He had to keep stopping as he went up the 12 years ago. How has he still been functioning for 12 years? Yeah, that's right, we did. The point being, folks, God is good God. And, you know, he's been functioning, you know, just with my dad, they did the same, his body did the exact same thing, grew around the blockage. It was in his basal artery, and it was enough to keep him alive. God did the same thing. Now we're just expecting a total makeover, you know, in this arena. But life, as Phil said, life wants to live, and it will find a way to live. I don't want to get into too much apocalyptic garbage this morning on what's going on, what I see possibly could be happening in the world. But I'm just telling you, folks, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you'd better. If you're standing here and you're saying, you know what, I still don't know about this God thing. There is a God. He's a good God, and he gave you the choice. That's how you know he's a good God. He's not a dictator. He said, he even told us in the Bible, to this day, I present to you blessing and cursing, life and death. And then he went on. How many of y'all liked it when the teacher gave you the answers to the test? He said, choose life that you may live. Hallelujah. He told us how to live. Amen. All right. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Oh, Lord God, for your wonderful, wonderful love towards mankind, that you sent Jesus Christ, that he may be the firstborn of many sons and daughters. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in the lives of people all over this village, this county, Lord God, in this state. We are standing for the people who don't know you today. Father, we pray, Lord, that you move on their hearts, Father. Move on our hearts to speak to them, Father. But most of all, help us to remain a true light of who you are. Now, Father, we present to you today our tithes and our offerings. Lord God, we present it to you as holy, as separate. Lord God, you sanctified it. We present it to you now. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, and Super Kids are dismissed. You know, the hardest thing for Bob right now is not laughing. And if you know anything about Bob, he likes to tell jokes. And we stopped in yesterday and was visiting with him. And even though he's got this compression thing on, holding his chest together and everything, he's trying real hard to say funny stuff and not laugh. So last night when I was leaving, we were talking about something and a joke popped into my mind, and I turned around and I said, you know what? Remind me at a later date to tell you the joke. Because I don't want to cause a man any more pain than what he's probably already experiencing. But I had to think about when he went in for surgery Wednesday. You know, they had already took him back and was starting to get him ready by the time we got there. And then the family got to go in and talk with him, and we prayed with him before we went in. But one of the things that I noticed, and I did this with, you know, even when Phil was in the hospital after his lawnmower accident, and you know, people are in the hospital, you know, you may think that I'm coming in and that I'm insensitive or whatever because I said something funny. First off, you need to know that is me. That's me. I will think of funny things to say, but I'll tell you first thing why. Is because Proverbs tells us that laughter is the best medicine. If you can laugh, I mean, like I said, when Phil was in the hospital, I hadn't even gotten into the room yet, and I heard him in there talking with the nurse, and she came out, and I told her, I said, I'd like to order a barium enema for this patient. She went back in and said, we just had a request for a barium enema for you, and he instantly knew it was me. But, you know, the whole night, we laughed. We joked about it, and to this day, I even threatened to shoot the other toe off for him. But when you can laugh in a situation, no matter how bad it is, I mean, I'm not making fun of or light of the fact that he lost a toe or that Bob had to have surgery. It's the fact you get your mind off of it, and you're not stressing about it any longer. There's nothing you can do. Like Phil's toe, there was nothing. They brought it in a baggie. Jason was the one that found it, and there wasn't nothing they could do. So, you know, it's like, well, let's find some fun in this. Let's find a little bit of humor. But if you can get your mind off of that, it's amazing what laughter will do for your body. You know, the endorphins and everything that's released into your body. How God made your body like that. Isn't that amazing? That if you can laugh, how much better you feel. How much better you feel going to a good comedy show, watching a good comedy, versus, well, some of you, well, for me, they're about equal, versus the Expendables type movies, you know, where it's just gunfire and things exploding right off the word go. You know, a lot of people don't enjoy those, but a good comedy, you come out, you feel good because you've laughed, because your body has taken the time and it's put out all these endorphins and other chemicals that you produce to heal it. God was not stupid when he created our bodies. You are a walking, talking enigma, because no matter what doctors do, and here's the great thing. I've always heard the joke about a scientist made it to heaven, and he told God, he said, "I still don't believe in you. I don't believe you created mankind. I don't believe you created the heavens and the earth." He said, "We can do all that down there." And God said, "Well, I tell you what, if you can do this, I will," and I'm butchering the joke, I know, "but if you can do all this, I will, if you can create a man, I will step back and prove that you were right." And the guy said, "All right, I just need some dirt and some other chemicals." And God said, "Oh, no. I created those. You have to create your own." Now, we serve such an awesome God. I just can't tell you enough how much we serve an awesome God. But that has nothing to do with the message. But he is a good God in all this. I told you last week we were going to talk about tithing and offering, sowing and reaping. I do this from time to time. One is a reminder. People get into it and they get religious. Oh, you know, this. But I'm telling it to you today so that you understand. Once you get hold of what God has promised us, you're going to say, "Oh, it's not an option." Okay? Now, let's open our Bibles to Leviticus 27:30. It says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's." Whose is it? It's the Lord's. It's not yours. It's not mine. You are not giving me your tithe and offering. Okay? Yes, and ultimately I am the one who ends up seeing where everything goes, but it's God's. Just because you tithe more didn't mean I made more. It's not how it works. Now, in the Old Testament, that's exactly how it worked. But that's not how it works today. But it is it is holy to the Lord. The word holy means it is separate. It is special to God. See, when we tithe to God, we're giving God something, and this is where I'm going to go with you. It is God's. It's not yours. Never was yours. This earth is not ours. It is God's. And that's why we have to be responsible with this earth. Well, if Jesus Christ is tarries for another 150 years, I want my great-great-great-great-grandchildren to be able to go out in the woods and see the trees and the deer and the mink and whatever else is out there. I want them to be able to go out and see it. I'm not a person who wants to go out and destroy this planet. I don't go out and dump gallons of crude oil in my yard. We have these products. We have to find a responsible way to get rid of them. Tires. Let's do a little better job. We got to have them. And unfortunately, we can't smoke them all off on the asphalt. But this earth is God's. How we take care of it. The Bible already says the earth is groaning under the weight of sin. So the tithe, right here, this is in Leviticus. I realize, Pastor, this is part of the Torah. This is part of the law. I agree with you. However, tithing did not start in Leviticus. Tithing did not start with Abraham and Melchizedek. Tithing did not start with Cain and Abel. Tithing started in the Garden of Eden. We'll get there. Now, Malachi chapter 3. You should have known I was going here if you heard any tithing messages. Will a man rob God? This is God speaking to his people. Will a man rob God? He says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, God replies. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now. I've told you, God is a God who says, try me. This is the only place you have a right to try God. The whole, let's put a fleece out and see if God moves. God wasn't thrilled with Gideon about that. I've told you my opinion on this, that if Gideon had done what he was supposed to do right off the word go, he would have marched into battle with 20,000 Israelites, not 300. He tempted God three times. He tried God three times, and three times God said, you have too many people. Gideon's not a military strategist. He was just one of the, probably the only man in Israel who was out in daylight getting the, preparing the grain. Now try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. By the way, if you're ever paying attention to when I'm praying over the offering, you will hear this regularly. This is a promise we have from God. This is not just to Israel in this. There are prophecies and there are words that were spoken to Israel alone. They do not involve Christians at all. This is a promise. And you know why it's a promise about tithing? Because tithing was before Israel. Before Abraham. This was from the word go. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. If we honor God with our tithes and our offerings, tithes being the first 10%. Now, a lot of people, well, that's not the first. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. How many of you get a paycheck? Who's the top person who gets paid? The federal government. Do you have the option? No, you do not. Don't get bent out of shape. It is the first 10% of what you make. Well, Pastor, I make a lot of money, and you know, that's just a lot of money. Well, yeah, how come? Try God in this. Watch what God can do. Watch what He will do. I got people sitting in here. The stock markets and stuff are going all over the place. Their retirements aren't going where the stock markets are going. No, they may go down, but God says, oh, I'm going to bless you. We're going to do something different for you. You got to understand, when He said, I'll rebuke the devourer is anything that can come in. Stock market crashes. Thieves coming in to steal your collections of stuff. Whatever it is that has a value to it. God can rebuke the devourer. Now, I will tell you this one time. Angela had called me, and we were just having a discussion on the phone. I was coming up 71 talking to her, and I was coming home from work, and we were just talking about finances. And, you know, at that time, we had just early started a church, and I was still working in Columbus, and we were just talking. It's like, man, I can't work enough hours in a day to make it. Anybody ever been there? And it's like... And then we hung up, and I'm on the way home, and me and God had a heart-to-heart. You're allowed to have those with God. Do you know that? He already knows your heart. Why let it sit there and fester? And I said, God, I got a problem. I said, you said you'd rebuke the devourer for my sake. So what's going on? And God said, how can I rebuke the devourer when you're being the devourer? I drove home in silence the rest of the way. Because what God was trying to get through to me is, you know, sometimes, folks, our financial problems is we overspend. That's our biggest problem in our country, is overspending. But God said, if you will honor me, watch what I will do for you. Here's the way I like to put this, folks, because we talk about seed time. You need to understand this if you've been around church long enough. When we talk about seed, we're talking about sowing things. If you don't have money or things, sowing your time into somebody else and things of that nature, okay? Just remember this. Every deed is a seed, okay? It's a seed. Now, here's the way I like to look at this. Your tithing is the plow. You've got to break the ground in order to get the seed into the ground. Tithing is a plow. Okay? It breaks that ground open. You still have to put a seed in it. Your tithe is not the seed. Your tithe is the plow that is saying, God, my ground is open and it's ready for you to bless it. And God says, you got to put something in there. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, first off, we know, obviously, Adam did not die the day he ate of it. And whether we want to argue a day in the Lord as a 1,000 years and, you know, Adam be 965 years old, something like that. Well, you see, it was 1,000 years. First off, Peter was just giving a general, a day in the Lord is timeless. Okay, we need to remember what metaphors are. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that Mrs. Davidson beat into my head as a freshman. It's the only stuff I remembered. But we got to remember, he said, you shall surely die. Remember that, okay? Let me get back to my notes because these ones go quick. Now, Genesis 3, verses 3 and 6. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, we see they ate. We know the rest of the story. We're still here. That's the rest of the story. Obviously, the serpent only told a partial lie, didn't he? They didn't die. They did not physically die. There were other things that started to die. I believe mankind was built to live forever. But I also, you need to understand this, and this was something that's hard for us to get because we've just been taught, well, they, you know, death was never, you know, in their comprehension. It had to be in their comprehension. What good does it do me if I threaten you, Pat, with something if you don't understand what I'm threatening you with? I can say, Pat, I'm going to beat you with a ball bat. And if Pat's got it in his head that a ball bat is one of them big wiffle ball bats, he's like, beat me. You know? But if I show up with a hickory Louisville slugger, little different deal, right? So he's got to have a comprehension of what I'm talking about. Man had to have a comprehension of what God was talking about. But the serpent took this and twisted it and said, you won't die, you'll become like God. Here's another twisted truth. We were already like God. We were created in his image, were we not? Now, doggone train pulled out too fast. I had something right on the tip of my tongue. The tree of the fruit, the fruit of the tree of the of knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't magical. Okay, and traditionally it has been passed down that it was an apple tree. That's where we get from that. Oral tradition from the Jews from centuries and centuries ago. Okay? Whatever it was, it doesn't matter now, does it? We get our shorts in a wad about this. Oh, it was an apple tree. It wasn't an apple tree. Who cares? It's a moot point at this juncture. And I don't believe it held magical powers. Let me ask you this. If you did something as a child or even as an adult that going in you knew was questionable, that you did it, and the moment you did it, you realized that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. That's the moment that God did not want us to get to. That tree represented that moment. Oh, I got to go hide myself. Last night, our dog is not allowed on the furniture. You let yours on, that's fine. My dog is not. I do not want an 80-pound dog who thinks he's a lap dog laying on me. But my dog is not allowed on the furniture. Now, in the last couple months, we have realized that when we're gone, because the boys have let him upstairs, we'll come in the door and, you know, you got an 80-pound dog and he jumps off of a bed onto the floor, you can hear the thud. Even though he's got this nice, thick memory foam bed over there, he likes Jesse's nice, thick memory foam mattress better. Last night, I came out of my bedroom, surprised him, and he's laying on my couch. I hadn't even gotten out of the dining room, and he was up, and his tail was between his legs, his head was down, and he got the house shoe. And the rest of the night, that dog would walk around me with his head down. He knew he had done wrong. He knew he wasn't allowed up there. That's the way we are. That's what God walked in and saw Adam and Eve. There, we got these little fig leaves that we sewed together. We're sorry, God. God never wanted that. Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit that yields the fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and a tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now I want to tell you right now, so we can just get this, all this making fun of people, out of the way. We were originally created vegetarians. Man did not have permission to eat animals until Noah. We were vegetarians, cut and dry. So if you don't like fruits, it would have sucked for you in the Garden of Eden. But I want you to see something. He said, "Every herb that yields seed, you can eat." God put plants here for medicinal purposes as well. There's this one little thing they keep, every spring it comes out, "Don't spray these, these are great in your salads." I'm like, man, they're covering my yard. They grow in, I can't think of what they're, round leaf, Richard. Kind of, it starts with a D, whatever it's called. No, it's not a dandelion. Those are nasty. My grandparents used to, "Here, eat these dandelion greens." Ugh, they're bitter. These things are actually sweet. When they come, I'll start showing you. I thought, I'm going to go out and try one. I'm either going to get sick or I'm going to find out there's something. And I went out and ate one. And I was like, it's sweet. And here I hate them stupid things because they're killing all the nice little pretty grass that I got in my yard. But they are sweet. And they produce a seed right out the center. If you let them get big enough. Like I said, when they start showing up, I'll find. But God created all the stuff on this planet for us to eat. And it's a seed. We can turn around and sow the seed. Not every tree was where God wanted it. That's why God said, now you need to subdue the earth. You need to take your time and invest a seed. As long as you leave my tithe alone. Now you see where I'm tying this in at. As long as you don't touch my tree, you've got 9 million other options. And it's boundless. Are you following me? The earth at one time, the Bible confirms this. The earth at one time was one solid landmass. All these little pieces of the puzzle, they fit together. And I don't know about you, but I am so jacked about finding out what's in Antarctica. It's got tropical leaves under all that ice. Could it be where, you know, everybody's like, well, the Garden of Eden was in Mesopotamia, come right out of Babylon. You do realize that the Garden of Eden isn't there anymore? It's not. I don't believe that the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers that we call the Tigris and Euphrates today are the rivers, because there were five rivers that flowed out of the land of Eden, out of the garden. Five rivers that flowed out. Not in, they flowed out. There's something to think about. But God said, you have all this seed. We had, you eat an orange. You got seeds, right? You plant the seed. You grow a tree. You get a harvest. You may not even be around anymore. You might, you know, who knows? Adam was probably the true first Johnny Appleseed. That was his job. Walk around, eat fruit, take a pointy stick, wallow a hole out, drop it in, cover it up, and walk away. And a tree would grow up behind him for the generations behind him. Man's harvest, because listen, let's all be honest about existence. We sit here and we say, well, I can't exist without my smartphone. I can't exist without my car or my truck. I can't exist without the internet. I can't exist without this or without that. What do you really need to exist? Food, water, and shelter. Whether it's a cave, whether it's a giant tropical leaf, I don't know. All you really need was food. Cut and dry. And to stop and think about it, you got to enjoy the scenery as you walked around with your pointy stick planting a tree. That was all there was to it. That was Adam's job. It was that easy. He got to enjoy the waterfalls. He got to enjoy climbing the mountains, looking out across the creation. He got to enjoy spending time with a lion, riding elephants. I don't know, maybe he rode lions. That'd be cool. I know He-Man was pretty cool. He rode a tiger. I lost half of you. The half above me and the half below me. The only ones that laughed know exactly who He-Man was. Genesis 1:29. There we are. Oop. Well, it should have been. My bad. All right, well, I'll turn there real quick. And it says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is in the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. I want to point out that he mentioned the seed again. He talked about the seed. You have to replant the seed in order to have a harvest. I have no problem harvesting trees. I do have a problem when we clear cut and we do not replant. I have a problem with it. I've seen pictures of mountains that have been devastated and they were left. Now, they'll recover quite quickly on their own. But if we want another harvest, you replant the stinking tree. That's how it happens. Otherwise, it takes a long time for those trees to come up. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad they finally quit cutting the redwoods. Those were trees I'd have just said, leave them alone. My goodness, the thing is 350 feet tall. There aren't trees like that all over the place. If they're common pine trees, you know, in North Carolina where we lived, it was hilarious. You go down through and see all these forests of pine trees. And if you look, they were all in rows. They were covered and aligned. They'd come through with their machines. They'd cut the trees down. Then they'd come back through with another machine and they'd plant those seedlings. And in about 25 years, they'd come back in and do the same thing again. I have no problem harvesting them. Replant. But God wanted our futures to depend on the seed we're planting. Are you still hanging with me on this? Your future depends on the seed you're sowing now. When we were first married, we sponsored a little girl through Compassion International. And we labeled that seed. See, I told you, every deed is a seed. We labeled that seed for the financial blessing to raise our own. We didn't have children yet, but to raise our children so that they would lack nothing. And you know what? Our children have never lacked anything they needed. They've got to go on trips. Things that were important to do, they got to do. We never told them, well, we can't afford that. I think there was one, and that was that one that Mrs. Looker signed you up for. We'd get it every year. They'd take a group of kids, and they'd go around the world. I'm like, this trip cost $4,000? Yeah. He didn't want to go anyhow, but she recommended him for it. And well, it'd be kind of cool, but if you think I'm sending an 8-year-old around the world by himself, you're nuts. He wants to go around the world? Well, the Marines will take care of it. And my daughter-in-law glares at me. Genesis 3:17. I want you to remember when at the tree of knowledge of good and evil represented the tithe to God. Remember what he said in Malachi 3. He said, if you don't tithe, you are cursed. So guess what happens when you take God's tithe? Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. He's now got to seriously work. Anybody that's ever grown a garden knows it's a chore keeping the weeds out. Last year, I put plastic down and just cut holes and set my plants in them. Best thing I've ever done. I'm like, why didn't I do this years ago? I used to hoe the garden as a kid, and I hated it year after year. But when Adam took what belonged to God, God said the ground is cursed. In other words, the very place you're putting your seed is cursed. So when we take the tithe from God, we're just throwing our seed on the ground. It's not going to take root like it should. Even today in no-till, there's still a little disc that goes through there and cuts the ground and it drops that seed into the ground. It doesn't just throw it on the surface. It's got to put it in the ground. So when we take what belongs to God, we just cut off the plow. We just cut off the very thing. And anybody know why you plow? With today's practices, it's a little different. But do you know why you plow? It kills the seeds of the weeds. You turn that ground over, you work it, and the seeds, in theory, are supposed to die. But now God said, you'll have briars, you'll have weeds, you'll have all this crap. And Richard has a job. Because of that. Because of the curse. And don't go looking at Richard. Well, you know, I mean, God would have had him a job anyhow. I don't know about you, Richard, but I personally would have liked to have seen the year where we just walk around with a stick. Walk around. I think I'll grab me some grapes and spit the seeds out in new vineyards. And do you know, I mean, you're hardly going to find them today, but grapes that without seeds and fruits without seeds are actually not as healthy for you as the ones with them, even though they're a pain in the butt. Anybody that's ever chomped down on a grape seed when you were expecting it to be seedless? And the seedless eventually do produce a seed. But they're harvested at certain times so that they don't. Life is in the seed. See, that's what we have to realize. If you pay attention, God is all about the seed. Whether it's man's seed, whether it's the seed of the crops, whether it's the seed of animals, whatever it is, whether it's your financial seed, if you're believing God for a miracle and future prosperity, try sowing seeds. I challenge you. This goes hand in hand with tithing. He will not fail you. Oops, here's my notes. 8:22, Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, this is after the flood. God is now speaking to Noah. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Is the earth still here? Last time I checked, we're still here. So, seed time and harvest. Now, I agree with one person who talked. I think the word seed time is actually engulfing the whole growing season. But you could put a comma, seed, comma, time, and have the same concept. But I believe that word encompasses the whole growing season. You take the time, you prepare the soil, you plant the seed. It takes time, doesn't it? I think for a tomato, once the plant is up, you got 90 days before it's going to produce a tomato that's ripe. Which always drives me nuts when I'm picking up my plants. I'm like, the plant's this tall and it's still going to take 60 to 90 days. But you got time. You got to wait for that seed. That's why you continually do it. You don't just say, well, I sowed this seed once and I'm never going to sow another seed again. I tried tithing once and I'm never going to try it again. Well, you didn't actually trust God for starters. God's not going to lie to you. He's not the son of man that he should lie. Cold and heat. Well, we know all about the cold stuff and the winter stuff. Which, by the way, this goes to disprove all those people saying that the earth was just a tropical paradise. It does say winter, right? I am seeing that word correct. Winter. Do you know that even Enoch, in the book of Enoch, he talks about that God took him to see the storehouses of snow. Which we now actually know the snow, we know the scientific reasons it snows, that there's not a storehouse up there where the angels are taking shovels of snow and throwing it in the air at us. We know there's a scientific process to it, but I believe where God took him to was the polar caps. Which, by the way, if you ever read anything about Enoch, he said that's where the throne of God was. It was in the farthest points of the north. I know we're not going to go up there and we're going to find a great big golden throne with God sitting on it over there, but just stating. All right, now, Genesis 26, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Now, remember, where Isaac was dwelling, the land had gone into a famine. Just because one region got into a famine doesn't mean the whole area is in a famine. This region where Isaac was dwelling came into famine. Isaac's idea, I'm going to do what Dad did. I'm going to Egypt. That's what we do, isn't it? Dad went there, I'll go there. It was good enough for Dad, it's good enough for me. But God said, no, I don't want you to go to Egypt. Go to the land of the Philistines. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Do you know why God sent him to the land of the Philistines, to Abimelech? It was to provoke those godless people to jealousy. Remember what he told us in Malachi. He said, "In the people of the world will call you blessed." They were looking at him and saying, he's blessed. How is he blessed? He just showed up here, plowed a field. He planted one seed, got 100 back. That's pretty good economics to me. I mean, I know Pat knows a lot about investment. That's a pretty good return on your money, isn't it, Pat? You put a dollar in the bank and, you know, within that same year, you get 100 back out of that dollar. Yeah, now it's 23 cents. I always laugh and look at my savings account thing. It's like, ooh, I got a penny. I got a penny of interest. Woohoo! But you see, God doesn't provoke people to jealousy by blessing us to belittle them, but that through that they would come to know him. That's his point. But when they cross a line, and God, only God knows when they've crossed that line, just like Pharaoh. God knew Pharaoh was going to turn his back. That's why he kept toying with him. Pharaoh thought he was God. Let's just be honest. When you think you're God, you aren't going to listen to the real God. But God blessed Isaac so much that the people, actually, they ran him out. They said, you got to go away. There's not enough ground for us and you. Now, mind you, we're talking about a whole people versus Isaac. And they said, there's not enough here for us. And everywhere, if you follow it on down through there, everywhere Isaac went after that, they'd dig a well. God would bless it. It'd have water. And the other people, the Philistines, would come. Isaac said, let's just go drill, dig another well. And they kept digging it, and they kept doing it until finally it did come to a head. But, folks, your financial security, I'm going to tell you right now, tithe. Honor God. And during our Great Recession in 2008, you've heard me talk about it if you were here around that time, our tithing percentage was about 95%. We had not one person laid off. Not one. And I've got pastors from other churches at that time who were saying, man, he says, is layoff starting to affect you? I said, no. I said, as a matter of fact, you know, and that was the time that I think even the commissioners told Cheryl, said, we don't know how we're going to keep you. We have no money. And we prayed. And I told Cheryl, I said, you're not going to lose your job. You're not going to lose your job. And I think they not only found the money, but I think they gave her a raise that year. When you tithe, it rebukes the devourer. And the devourer can't come and say, hey, that's mine. God says, no. That's my seed. That's why he told us, your vine will not fail to produce in the field. Your harvest will come. You're waiting on that harvest, but if you've cut off God from here, the harvest cannot happen. It's kind of like, well, I'll just put it this way. Eventually, Congress is going to get this garbage figured out about this budget. But in all actuality, and they could say, well, you know, you military can't leave. You let the military go without a real paycheck. Find out what they can and cannot do. You just breached a contract. Trust me, they love that word. That's a breach of contract. Because I knew guys that were brought up on it. And we were all looking for a way that the government breached the contract. But you don't pay them? That's part of the contract. Was that you would pay them. Now, unfortunately, politicians will use it just like not the other night, but the previous time before. What about our military? What about... You're in between pay periods. They aren't going to go without a paycheck right now. You got another week to get your head out of your backside and figure this out. The 15th of the month, if they ain't paid, they have a right. They have a gripe. But let's say we're them. As long as we keep the guard posted and paid and taken care of and honored, product can happen. But if you don't take care of the God, you don't honor God, you're not taking care of him, you're honoring him. He created this. And by the way, I'm going to point out again, it was just one tree out of 9 million or whatever. One lousy tree. But God already knew it was going to happen. God knew we were going to have to deal with all this stuff. So when he thought of that, he said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do on the other side. People are going to honor me with what they work. It's not that hard. We got cursed. Now, do you want the curse rebuked? Tithe. You want more financial blessing? Listen, if God tells you to sow the seed, you sow the seed. You do not listen to somebody who says, well, you know, right now I feel that there's, you know, God's... I will admit to this. I one time stood up for an $8,500 seed. I've since asked God to forgive me for my stupidity and ignorance. That when God blessed me, I'd send this guy $8,500. For what? I don't want what you got. I want what God's got for me. And I'm telling you, you know, when we start seeking money, we start seeking financial gain and everything. I'm not saying we'd be stupid. The Bible tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. If you make bad financial investments, that's on you, not the person who prospered from it. I knew a lady here in town who made a couple investments down here through the investment company. I mean, I think she invested like $50,000. She did, and they told her straight up, this is a risk. She wanted to pursue it. Well, when she lost all of her money in her idea of what should have made money, all she did was walk around and talk about how they robbed her. Let's get something straight. You invest money in anything, it's a gamble. That's all there is to it. You can either come out on top, or as the saying goes, sometimes you're the Louisville slugger, sometimes you're the ball. But if you want to sow into something that's not moved by the market, I'm telling you, folks, 2008, we've never had anybody lose their jobs. People got pay increases. I saw people being blessed more and more during that time period than any other. And listen, they say that, and the nation is settling a little bit. Don't go say, well, we're out of the woods yet. You're never out of the woods. Why? Because you got people following the NASDAQ saying, oh, we're in trouble, we're in trouble. No, we're not. Don't follow numbers. Follow the actual movement. But allow God to tell you where to sow. If God tells you to sow a seed here, sow the seed here. If God tells you, and I'm going to challenge you, especially those of you that are looking for your children. I've told my children this. I'll tell every last one. I'm looking all at, I can't help but look at you guys. You're right here in front of me. Sponsor a child. It's $38 a month. I stand here telling you, my kids never went without. Now, it didn't mean that I always had money to go buy them Carhartt jackets and Carhartt bibs, but you want to know something? My children always had Carhartt jackets and Carhartt bibs. Always. They didn't get the walls that Walmart sells. And I like Carhartts better. I put them through the work. There's a little better. But the point being, folks, God blessed my children with the good stuff. I know you guys want your children to have the good stuff too. That's a place right there, I'm telling you. You can do it. You don't have kids. You want to sow a seed. Do it there. That's a great place. I tell you what, we got a letter from our little girl, Natalie, just the other day. And they sent a picture. And back last month, I was sitting there going through my bills, and I was like, oh no, I forgot to send her a Christmas present. I'm sitting there and I'm panicking, and so instantly I got on there and sent money to him for a Christmas gift. Well, and we got this thing. Well, apparently we had, because they, you know, she had new shoes, jeans, and some other things laid out on the table there in front of her. And then God said, the reason you don't remember paying it during that hectic time was because you paid it the month in advance. So I blessed somebody else. But as I looked, my heart was so glad to see what that little girl had. Because, you know, I mean, I know many of you in here, you've got, a lot of you in here have sponsored a child through Compassion. It's a great place to do it. And it's not just a seed plug here for Compassion. That was one thing God did put on my heart this morning. If you want provision for your children, whether you can do it or not, sow the seed into another child. Watch what God will do. Because see, now this seed that we're sowing through Natalie is Justin's age. This seed for Natalie isn't for my children. That's why we sow. It's for my grandchildren. Don't become so hard. Well, you know, so and so, they make $100,000 a year and they're supposed to be nonprofit. Well, I'll tell you what, you head up 1,500 people and tell me how much time you got for your own family. And then while you're asking that, why don't you ask, why do senators make what they make and they get to go home And they get to say, well, I'm not going to vote. Isn't that what we're paying them for? If people would get their heads out of their backsides right now, we'd see this country working a little better. And I believe there's going to be such a shakeup coming that if you ain't sowing and you aren't tithing, you don't want to be in the shakeup. Because it won't be a good ride. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, I will say this. Over the years, I've seen many, many people. I had one guy say, well, he tried tithing 2 times. Doesn't work. Seriously? You didn't make up your mind. That's like trying a magic trick. I can't figure out this card trick. How do I... Here, Richard, pick his card. Pick a card, pick a card. Oh, no, I don't remember how the trick goes. It's not a trick. Because I can tell you, everybody sitting in here can tell you that have been practicing it time and time again. Trisha, how does it work? Yeah, they've done it. And they're like, how does it work? What's the math on it? There is no math on it. If you will tithe and you will honor God and sow the seed, boom, he will move. And he's not a respecter of persons, whether it's Richard and Tricia or Pat and Brenda or Harold and Sherry or who or Gloria. He doesn't care who you are. He just says, do it and watch what I will do. Yeah, don't get caught up. Like I said, folks, I want everybody to understand this one thing. I believe God wants his people wealthy. I do believe it. But getting wealth is not the role of the church. Okay? I've put my feet down on that one. That's not what I'm supposed to be preaching about. Because if you know you're wealthy, but you're still going to hell, exactly what was my purpose in your life then? Because even Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And whether that's a door, which I've heard some teachings saying that whoever taught that didn't know what they were talking about, that the little door on the side, the walk gate, was the eye of the needle. I think Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said the eye of a needle. Probably that bone or that really hard, dense wood. It has a hole in the end to use to pull thread through a piece of cloth. It's only about yay big. I think that was very possibly what Jesus was talking about. He was pointing out, not that rich people can't go to heaven, because I'll be honest with you, some of the richest people in this county, at least one of them I know, is one of the most generous men I've ever met. And you wouldn't know it by looking at him. As a matter of fact, people talk about him. And I'm like, dude, he's got to be single-handedly down the most generous man I've ever met. And then there's others. Well, you know, they bragged to me about how they aren't in debt and how much ground and stuff they owned, and then told me they were changing my insurance plan so that it was the worst insurance plan on the planet. Exactly. Why do I want to keep working for you? Oh, that's right, I don't. Because that's why I'm getting paid peanuts. But I'm just telling you, folks, by the way, this other guy, he knows all about sowing and reaping. Because I told him one day, I said, you know what? He blessed us one time. And I said, man, God bless you. And he said, he does all the time. And he's not a man that walks around with his religion on his sleeve. And it has nothing to do with what we think about each other, what we think about him, what we think about our neighbor. Focus on yourself, tithe, sow the seed, and wait for the harvest. I'm telling you, wait for the harvest. Well, you know, Pastor, God didn't bring it. I needed $1,000 yesterday. Did you talk to God about it? Well, yeah. What'd he say? Well, he was kind of quiet. Well, did you tithe the last time? No. Well, he's not obligated to do anything. I want you to understand, he's not like, I do have to think about the Godfather. Y'all know the movies, the whole concept of it. The Godfather would take care of you. You need to understand that premise. It's really a very good premise. In get away from the criminality of the organization of the mob. But the Godfather would take care of you. You just honored him. Okay? It's that principle. You honor God, he stands up against your enemies. I like that thought. I don't know about you, because I can't see when something's coming to steal from me. You know, I can't see, you know, I might run over something. Oh, dear Lord, is that going to puncture my tire? Well, it didn't, but it should have. Did he not rebuke the devourer? If not, you haven't bought tires lately. Tires for my truck are over $200 each. And they're not even the ones I really want. Those are closer to $300 to $400. But God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I have to think about that song. Most of you know it, Amy Grant, Angels Watching Over Me. You know, she talks about all the things. Angels watching over me. It's not that God's not looking out over you. Listen. He doesn't say, well, you know what, you didn't tithe, so I'm just going to automatically, your harvest is gone. No, anyhow it works. But let me, I feel the Holy Spirit changing my gear real quick. If you're going to get legalism and get into the Bible, if you get into the Bible, it says you have to catch up on your tithe. 33% is what you have to add to it. That's law. We operate in grace today. Ask God to forgive you, move on. Okay? That's all there is to it. I want to see you blessed. And you ought to be grateful that all we do is give money. Because today our economy is a little different than theirs. They were dealt in animals and seed and all this. You know, if Pat raised horses and he had this beautiful, beautiful stallion born. He's like, oh man, this is the horse I've been trying to breed. This is going to be Mac, but he's the firstborn. The firstborn belonged to God. And if you could exchange an animal, Pat would have to add 1/5 of the value of that horse to the tithe. So you get rid of that, you save that horse, you got to take 5 others and replace him. Hey, paper's paper. I don't care if it was gold or whatever we're dealing with. I don't get attached to it. There have been days that I haven't been real attached to it. Some of you have been there. Yep. I used to tell a joke about keeping $2 bills in my wallet so that they could procreate. Never worked. But what did work was sowing those $2. God said, do it. I did it. All right, let's stand. God is good, folks. Do not look at him and say, well, you know what? I'm having to pay off the mob boss. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You can either honor God with your tithe or let the devil take it. Well, you know, all these worldly people, they're just so stinking rich and all that. Yeah, they're going to hell. There's a lot of those people you're sitting there looking at. Oh, you know, look at all the money Bill Gates has got. He doesn't believe in a God. What's his $80 billion going to do? He can't buy his way in. I think I'd rather take my chances honoring God, living a blessed life, living a happy life instead of worrying about who's going to come take my kids for ransom. Who's coming after me now? And even if I did have all that money and I honored God, I wouldn't worry about who's going to come after my kids. Because I have a promise in Malachi that says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will not touch your children. My children haven't been exactly accident-free. That one at 2 flying off of a hay wagon, a full hay wagon, up in the air, and the hay wagon kept going. Hit a groundhog hole. They've had, and then get T-boned last year. And God kept them from going over a guardrail. Don't sit there and think, well, you know, that your children just never done anything. Oh, trust me, my kids are, they are now, unfortunately, this one learned not to tell me what he did until he moved out. This one is bragging about it right now. I later learned they were jumping the barn bank with one of them laying on the other side with a motorcycle. Here, we're going to video this. I can't say anything. I got pictures similar. Or that one trying to climb an ancient rope up on the into the hay mow, the hay hook. Got about 10 feet up and the rope broke. Landed on his back. Or this one swinging out on a grapevine in the woods out across a gully. I know there's a bunch of Tarzans out here. You did it too. And you also know what happens. Most of the time, the rest of the grapevines let go. But God has looked out for people, folks. God looked out for you guys in your accident. He's not going to let anything happen to you. You get in an accident? Praise God, it could have been worse. By the way, how's your hip? You're getting there? Yeah. Still believing. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your mercy in our lives, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you will look out for us. Father, help us not to see tithing as an anchor, but to see it as a blessing. That, Father, that we may also continue to bless others. Father, that when you tell us to give somebody a 20 in the line at the store, we'll do it. When you tell us to buy some groceries for somebody or to put gas in somebody's car, we will do it. And the reason we'll do it is because we have the money now. Father, help us to realize that it is your desire for us to be blessed, that we may be a blessing to others, not just our children and our family, but, Father, those outside of our families. Father, I pray now that you move on each and every person, Lord God, as people are contemplating where to sow seeds. Father, I know that's one of the first things I start thinking, because your word rings true and your word stands true. And that is why I stand on your word. Father, lead them and guide them in this. Open their eyes to the opportunities they have. Father, speak into their spirits what they should do. And now, Lord God, I thank you for these people. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Father, as they're moving in their lives, Father, that you continue to open doors for them and create pathways that are straight and well-lit for them. In Jesus' name, amen.